God. Amen. When Jesus Christ touched my life. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles tonight. A sermon entitled, Your Covenant. It goes right with it. Glory to God. Your Covenant. There's an illustration. Amen. Gunny is the nickname of a famous Marine Corps sniper whose name was Carlos Norman Hatchcock II. His enemies knew him as White Feather. He had 93 confirmed kills during the Vietnam War. He is considered one of the top four famous snipers of all time. And some would argue that he was number one on that list. He is recognized for the longest documented shot confirmed kill at 2,500 yards. That is 1.42. That is almost a mile and a half. With a bounty of $30,000 on his head for anyone who would take his life, he was able to locate the Viet Cong's most dangerous sniper in the woods from a glare on his scope and took a gutsy shot that was recorded to have gone through the scope of the enemy sniper and right through his eye. Hathcock said both were looking dead at each other, but he pulled the trigger first. He was also known to have taken the life of a Viet Cong general covering 1,000 meters of open terrain in 3.5 days, crawling an inch at a time. Enemy patrols came within 20 feet of him at times while camouflaged with grass and vegetation. Here in our text, the book of John chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 31. Amen. If you're there, say amen. If you're still looking, keep going. Glory to God. We're going to go ahead and get started. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 13, verse 31, it says, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me as you will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you. Lord, let this be a covenant, God, that you place that you have placed with us, God. God, you have brought forth a new commandment that we should love one another tonight. God, help us to be able to understand that that is the greatest of all things, God, that we love you and love one another, Father. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. See, there is a covenant. Covenant tonight is love. There is an oath of enlistment for those that have enlisted themselves into the military. If you are an enlisted person, that is that you are from the ranks of E1 through E9, the oath goes like this. I, your name, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear the true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulation and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. As an officer, they take this oath. They state their name, have been appointed an officer in the whatever branch of the United States they are serving, as indicated above in the grade of, usually they come in as second lieutenant. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservations or purpose of evasion, and that I will help and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter. So help me God. Both of these, amen, they end with, so help me God. Here it is, an oath. An oath is defined as a solemn promise, often invoking a divine witness regarding one's future and action or behavior. This is something serious, folks. This is something that they are giving themselves to. An oath is not something regarded as something lightly. It is something that many of times, as I was doing my study, many of times an oath, when an oath is given, it is given by blood. As little kids, when they make an oath, they usually come in. And that's the way, that is their oath. Let's come together. Listen, it is people coming together to make something, amen, to be promised. 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4 says, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. An oath, amen, unto the Lord, it involves two things. It involves people, and it involves God. A covenant with God. Abraham embracing the promises of God in Genesis 15, 9 through 11. So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, turtle dove, and young pigeon. In verse 10, then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite of the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Listen, Abraham was making a statement that these were the things that he was going to offer God, and nothing was going to come in and take them away. He was going to defend, amen. He was going to come in and he was going to use every means possible, because this was a commitment that he was making unto God, folks. See this, amen, a sacred commitment towards him. It brought forth as he brought the commitments that were made unto him as he made a sacrifice unto you and I. How many know that a commitment must be kept because that's the right thing to do? Amen? I was talking to a man one day. I knew nothing about this guy. I've never seen this guy again. He worked there at work for a short amount of time, but he made this statement. He said, the last thing a man can lose, a man has lost everything. Big old European guy. He's looking down at me like this. And he says, man has lost everything. The last thing he can lose is his word. When a man loses his word, he has nothing left. That's why a covenant, listen to me, that's why a covenant is so important. It must be kept. Amen. As Abraham was there, he was making sure that the covenant, the sacrifice was to be made. Amen. He was there to protect it against all things. There's a price that you and I pay. How many know? When we break a covenant, when you are there and you rent a house, if you break it, you're going to pay a lot. When you come in you go through a car financing agreement, you are there signing. That's why they have so many papers that they go through, because of so many things that people have broken, that they just want to make sure that you know what you are signing yourself into. We look at these things, at these types of covenants, as something that has a very high priority, folks. Next, there's a covenant with people. 1 John 4:20-21. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You know, I've heard this time and I've heard this recently. I love God, but I don't know about loving his people. Amen. I can love the old man, and then they reference him as the old man in the sky. But I don't know about people, because people get on my nerves. But yet we are still to love. Even people that get in our nerves. Amen. There's a lack of regard, folks, that people have towards this covenant. We don't like to think that there's a price to pay when covenant is broken, or sometimes not even made at all. God himself is saying that this is the highest covenant that you can make. We cannot just pick and choose what we want to, agree and covenant with. Lastly, there's a new covenant. The Ten Commandments demanded that there be a respect, towards God and man. It requires that there be love. Jesus here, he wants to take it. Can I tell you, Jesus is taking it towards a new level. He says there's a new covenant. See, the Ten Commandments were the minimal requirements, that were there. But Jesus says there's something that has to be added. Listen, it has to be added with your heart involved. Because if your heart is not involved in it, then you are going to break covenant just like that. it's not going to mean anything to you. But if our hearts are involved and given to it, folks, listen, it is going to be something more than just the minimum requirements. I told somebody that when you are in a marriage, can I tell you, many of people get it wrong. They come up and they say, you get 50, I get 50, that makes 100%. But you're still lacking your 50% and she's lacking her 50%. And that's why, amen, there's over 50% of divorces. You got to give 100% into everything you do, folks. That's the covenant that Jesus is saying. Listen, it has to be more involved with your heart than just the minimal requirements that you think you have to give or you think you can input. The Good Samaritan in Luke 10, the priest and the Levites, they show you and I clearly how you and I can follow the law, yet we can think twice about helping somebody else's life. That's not my responsibility. I'll let somebody else take care of that. See, the mark of a disciple is, Jesus said, by this all will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. See, love, as in the text that we read, it is what defines a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. That you just don't regard somebody there, but you love them, amen, as you love yourself. See, the existence of love will determine if you and I, amen, are there pleasing in God's eyes. You know what breaks the church? When the people on the south side don't want to talk to the people on the north side of town. Amen? Or the people on the west side don't want to talk to the people on the east side of town. We're talking about the people in the church, folks. The people that sit on this side look at the people on that side. Listen, folks. That's what breaks up a church like that. When we think that we can pick and choose who we want to love in the house of God. See, love will make or break a church quickly. See, as the story went on about the gunny, the sniper, when Carlos Hathcock took that oath of a Marine, when he enlisted himself to fight, he enlisted himself to fight and protect the freedom for those who he does not even know. No. When I signed up for the U.S. Army in 1992, they said, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to fight against foreign and domestic. We were going to have to fight for the freedoms of people of people that we did not know of. Matthew 22, 37, 39, Jesus said to him, "You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Look at your neighbor and tell him, "I love you." Some of you can't even do that. You better be glad he just said it. That's the only reason I'm saying it. Amen. Listen, Jesus said, and the second is just like it, that you must love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, you love yourself, so you must love your neighbor as you love you. Amen. How many know that that's sometimes? Because just like those people that make that statement, "I can love him, but people, I don't know." Shaky, shaky. Listen, can I tell you? I don't know if Ms. Ava remembers in 2017, there was an impact team from Garland that came here. We invested into Colorado Springs. We came, amen. Do you remember that? We came. We made an investment not knowing, listen to me, not knowing that in 2025, July 13th of 20, this was July of 2017, folks. And here it is, amen, 8 years later, that investment that we, made in July of 2017. Now my wife, in 2025, we've had the opportunity to now, see the investment come, to more fruition and to life as we came to take over the pastoral, duties here in Colorado Springs. But it was because we love. Because of our love, we were able to come. And it is that same love, that allows, my wife and I, glory to God, to see and come and be part of this great move of God here in Colorado Springs. But we did it without knowing that any of you were going to be here. That's what's amazing about when you are obsessed with souls, you look at other people's lives, almost in a sense of more important than even yourself. You know, one of the things that my wife and I were always known for there in the Killeen Church were to fellowship. They used to call us the party pastors. Because we always had people over, folks. You know why we have people over our house? Because we love people. You know why we have people over our house, even when we are tired? I was waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, folks. And we'd have people at my house till like 10:30, 11. People are looking at me, "Pastor, you got to go to work, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." "What time you go to work?" "In about 2 hours." "Pastor, why didn't you tell us?" "Because I was looking and my obsession was with you instead of myself." People at the church, they would say, "Pastor, we don't know how you do it." And can I tell you? I'm going to tell you the answer. I don't know how I did it. Amen? sleeping about an hour and a half. The shortest amount of time that I slept one time was 30 minutes. I just laid my head. The alarm sounded. Let's go to work. But you know why I did that? Because souls were always the most important part of my life. Souls, folks. And can I tell you, I will do it again. The other day, I think we fell asleep at, 1 o'clock, Maribel? Maribel says, we can't do this no more. We're getting older. Folks, I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning when my alarm sounded. I got to go to the church. Why? Because I know the importance. Listen to me. I know the importance of our souls. Matthew 14:13-14. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw the great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sickness. 2 Corinthians 11:28-29. Beside other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? See, there are things, beloved, that are more important than maybe even ourselves. There's three things at work against the unity and the commitment of the church. There is growth. As the church begins to grow, just like brothers, how many know that there's going to be some type of possible disagreements with one another? But yet at the end of the day, we must still get along. You know, I had 10 brothers and sisters. My sisters can probably beat you up because we beat each other up. But can I tell you, at the end of the day, we came in and we hugged one another. And we embraced one another. And we loved one another. No matter what the disagreements were, there were hurts, there were violations. There were self-interests. There were different things that we were leaning towards. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Can you see the interests of others before even your own interests? John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You know, when we were called back to from Kansas City in 2011, we were called back to be there to assist Pastor Rosario. We had what we thought, we had revival. But yet Pastor called us because Pastor said, Jesus, I think your wife and I will be a great help to the Killeen church at this moment of time. So guess what we did? We left Kansas City. We stayed in Killeen for 3 years. 2014, Pastor comes up to us again. Jesus, I think your wife and your wife and your family would be a good fit there in Garland. My wife, as she testified, she had made a statement. Listen, I don't want to go out again. Because the devil was playing with her mind. The devil was playing and telling her, amen, you can probably go out, but your kids, I'm going to take them from you. Can I tell you, that's not a good thought that the devil places in a woman's or a mother's mind. But we were obedient and we stayed there for 11 years. Here it is, 2025 now. We're there and Pastor Rosario comes up and he taps you. Jesus, this is what I want you guys to do. Can I tell you this? This was in the physical, one of the hardest moves that we've ever made. But in the spiritual, it's the best decision we've ever made. Because this time, we didn't come with our kids. This time, we didn't come. Our kids stayed back. They grown. But they stayed, folks. Can I tell you, that was one of the hardest decisions that we could have ever made. But yet, because of the love for souls and people, it's the best decision that we could make. See, sometimes there's things that are going to be done just simply because that's the right thing to do. Because we love God and we love people. Can I tell you, there's going to be some hard decisions that you will probably make in your life. But if you look at it with not seeing the sacrifice, but seeing the lives, that are going to be impacted, you will always make the right decision. It will always be the right thing because I love God. And the second is just as great. I love people. And because I love both, when God said, will you go? I lifted up my hand. I promised to honor and defend the Constitution, amen, or the Bible of the Word of God. Because God, you've called us. I wonder tonight, will you make a covenant? See, like I said, covenants were usually done with blood. Jesus made his covenant with you and I in blood, with blood. Can you and I make a covenant, a commitment? Can we take an oath of enlistment? God, this is what I'm going to do. God, I'm not going to break, I'm going to keep, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to honor, and I'm going to, amen, uphold your word. Because easily, if you don't see the end, you will back out of your commitment just as easily as you made it. See, here in our story, he was a Carlos Hathcock was awarded the Silver Star, the third highest military military honor. It did not happen until 30 years later. He said the real heroes are the ones who gave it all. He refused the award. If we are not careful, we will find ourselves tonight always looking for some type of commendation. And when we don't find it, we will think, what's the use? Can I tell you, look around. That's what's the use. You are what's the use. You are what's the use. All of us are what's the use. When we look around, we can see that there is a reason. And the reason is that there is a soul at stake. That's the most important to Jesus Christ. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Amen. You're here tonight, you're not saved. You're here tonight, you're not right with God. It would be our greatest honor tonight to be able to pray with you. Would you do something? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, would you simply do one thing? All I want to do is pray for you. We're not going to put you in front. We're not going to make you sign a membership to our church. I just want you to make a commitment, a covenant with God. God, I've never accepted you. Lord, I've never asked you to come into my life. I've always known about you, but I've never made that commitment. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around in respect. Would you do one thing? If you want to make that commitment, if you want to take that covenant, God, I want to be able to invite you into my life. That's you. Would you simply do one thing? Raise your hand. Lift it up. Lift up your hand tonight. Lift it up. Quickly, lift it up. You're here tonight, and you're backslidden. You made that decision at one point in your life. But tonight, that covenant that you made was broken. But you want to make a commitment once again. Would you do something tonight? You're backslidden in your heart. You're going to say, God, I'm going to do this. And I can uphold it. I'm backslidden tonight, but I want to get right with God. Would you simply do one thing? Would you lift up your hand? Lift it high so I can see it. I want to pray for you. God sees that hand. Anybody else tonight? Honest hearts, amen. Lives that are lifting up their hands towards God. You want to make a commitment tonight. God, I want to uphold this commitment unto you. God, through you, it's going to be made possible. When I enlisted to defend and protect. Would you enlist into the Lord's army tonight? You're here tonight and you're not saved. I'm going to make one last call, one last petition tonight. You're not saved or you're backslidden in your heart and you want to get right tonight. Would you simply do one thing? Would you lift it up? Amen. Would you join this honest heart tonight? Hallelujah. If you lifted up your hand, amen, I want you to come. Come. Father, in the name of Jesus, just repeat after me, Lord. I ask you tonight to give me the strength to make it through. I thank you, Lord, for never leaving nor forsaking me. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Take some time, Joy. God bless you guys. Would you tonight, church? I'm going to open up this altar. God, I'm going to make a covenant with you. God, I'm going to make a commitment unto you. God, I know sometimes it could be difficult. But God, I am making an oath unto you tonight. God, I want to live for you. God, I want to live for you, God. And here's my life, God. Use it. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God. Come, lay hold of God tonight. Let Jesus tonight help you. Let Jesus tonight touch you. God, I want to do this. God, I want to do this, God. I know that I can do this. For God, I can do this tonight. With you, all things are possible. And I make this commitment with you, Lord. I make this commitment with you tonight. God, I make this commitment unto you tonight. Cry out to the living God tonight. He is going to help you. He is going to, amen. Listen, he's not going to leave you there. He gave himself, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch them, God. Guide them in the name of Jesus.